Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Opportunities and ideas. And she said it was really interesting. I had two kids and my third kid just before the baby was about to be born. I said, I don't think I can do this. I can't. I don't think I can be a mother. I don't think I can do this. And she said, it was interesting because that was like right before the baby came out, like right then. And she said, it had happened with the first two kids, and yet with the third kid, I still did that. But I do think that's really interesting. This is a story I've heard from mothers across the board, that just before the baby is about to be born is when the biggest doubt comes in. So I think that there's something sacred and holy in that. There's something to pay attention to. And it's not, the message is not follow your doubts, but the message is to pay attention to when those big doubts arise. Joe Dispenza does research on the brain, and he says that basically when somebody is certain of something, that the brain is locked into particular neural pathways. So certainty locks the brain in. And it's kind of like when a great rain happens, the rain goes down through the same trough, you know, like the same river, the same place, all the rain collects, it goes through the same pathways that it has been going through before. And this, our brains are the same way. So when we're certain, we have these neural pathways that are locked into our brain, and this can limit us because our certainty can lock us into limiting beliefs. The belief that this is impossible, the belief that this can't happen. But doubt actually disrupts those neural pathways. It allows us to be open to another possibility. However, we are at choice points. So when the doubt comes in, we can choose to follow the doubt along the path of fear, or we can choose to lean into it and be curious. If I'm curious, I might ask, what else is possible? If this big doubt is showing up, what else is possible? Maybe this isn't the truth. Maybe there's some other possibility. And that's the moment we can imagine something we would love or some other idea of possibility and rehearse it in our brain. And the reason why that's a really important time is because it's the moment, the doubt is the disruptive moment, and it disrupts those neural pathways. But then when we lean in with curiosity on what else is possible or what can we be open to, and if a possibility occurs that is more desirable, we can imagine it in our head. Because when we imagine, our body and brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. And so it can cause new neural pathways to be created on the new reality, which I think is pretty powerful and cool. So that's what we do in this teaching. It's not pretending that the doubt isn't there. It's not saying that there isn't a space for it. It's saying that the moment of that opening, that crack, a new choice is available. And that's what we open to. So doubt isn't really a malfunction in our operating procedure. Doubt is really a doorway. But what you do next determines what can occur for your life. So the doubting self is not really your enemy. The doubting Happy Mother's Day. All right, I have a little poll. How many of you have physically given birth to a baby? Raise your hands. All right, thank you. Okay, now if you've adopted a child, raise your hands. If you've been adopted, raise your hands. Now, how many of you have ever given birth to an idea? So today is to celebrate all of you. Mother's Day is not one thing. It's not one experience. It's not one emotion. And in the room, there are people who are mothers. And, here's another one. Raise your hand if you've had a mother. Now, not everybody's mother was present, but everybody had a mother. One thing about mothers is that there's good ones, there's complicated ones, there's absent ones, there's beloved ones. And then there's those of you who are mothering communities, ideas, friendships, or people who don't have mothers. There's those of you in the room who lost your mother and are sad. And those of you who wish your mother was different. There's people who long to be mothers, and there's people who chose not to be mothers. And there's people who are mothered by grandmothers, aunts, neighbors, and friends. All of it is here. All of it is welcome. All of it is part of the sacred and holy day. So I want to invite you to bring to mind somebody who's mothered you. And I want you to hold your hand over your heart. And repeat after me in your heart and out loud. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for holding me. Thank you for loving me when I could not love myself. Now, bring to mind someone you may have mothered. A child, a friend, a community, maybe yourself. And repeat after me. I have given love, and that matters. The love that I have offered lives on in the world. And now, if you're in grief today, let it be here too. If you feel sadness or loss, in any sense of the word mother, just allow that to be. And now I want you to imagine the infinite mother, the great creator itself, that has mothered all creation. And repeat after me. The love that has mothered me is eternal. The love that I offer to others is eternal. I am held by life and by love. By the one that never lets go. And so it is. And today we are talking about debuting the divine doubt. There's a song from Leonard Cohen that says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in, from his song Anthem. There's a crack running through every human life. And this month, We're exploring that crack. We're inviting in that thing that often we invite right back out of our lives. There might be a voice in your head, maybe. A voice in your head that was here this morning on your way here. And maybe the voice is, am I worth it? Am I enough? Do I belong? Have I done enough? Do I mean anything? Does life mean anything? Am I a part of something bigger than me or not? And that is the doubting self. And it's here. It's present. But what I want to propose to you is that voice in your head is not the enemy. That voice, the voice of doubt, the place of the crack, it may be your most unutilized teacher. And I have three reasons why I believe that. The first thing is that doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's the beginning of faith. It's the opportunity to start. Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of Centers for Spiritual Living, he wrote a book called The Science of Mind. Actually, he wrote like 30 books, but one book in particular, we tend to study more than the others. And in that book, he said, one cannot be a good student of the science of mind who's filled with fear and confusion. By the way, he wrote this in like the 1920s, or the 18, he started, yeah, 1926 is when he wrote this, so it is gendered, I will just say that. He must keep himself in a state of equilibrium, in a state of poise, peace, and confidence. He must believe that the belief in goodness must be greater than any apparent manifestation of its opposite. Notice what he says there, greater than. Not that it's the only thing in the room, just greater than. The belief in goodness is greater than any appearance of the manifestation of the opposite. So doubt can be present. Goodness is just bigger. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a story, very beginning. The great Arjuna, who is a warrior, he stands at the very beginning of a huge war that's about to occur. And as he looks across the battlefield, he sees people on the other side that are his family members and friends. And he's literally going to war to kill people. And in that moment, he collapses. He says, I don't think I can do this. And that's when Krishna comes in, and Krishna's one of Hindu's great gods. And Krishna comes in and delivers 18 pages of one of the most spiritual understandings of life that has ever been written. And it's interesting because it happens right in the moment of his collapse, right when he doubts everything. That's the moment before this revelation occurs. I was talking to one of my ministerial student mentees this last week, and she told me a story I've heard several times, but it seems appropriate right now. So I'm not an actual physical birth mother. I've never actually given birth to a child. I've given birth to communities and ideas. And she said it was really interesting. I had two kids, and my third kid just before the baby was about to be born, I said, I don't think I can do this. I can't. I don't think I can be a mother. I don't think I can do this. And she said, it was interesting because that was like right before the baby came out, like right then. And she said, it had happened with the first two kids, and yet with the third kid, I still did that. But I do think that's really interesting. This is a story I've heard from mothers across the board, that just before the baby is about to be born is when the biggest doubt comes in. So I think that there's something sacred and holy in that. There's something to pay attention to. And it's not, the message is not follow your doubts, but the message is to pay attention to when those big doubts arise. Joe Dispenza does research on the brain, and he says that basically, when somebody is certain of something, that the brain is locked into particular neural pathways. So certainty locks the brain in. And it's kind of like when a great rain happens, the rain goes down through the same trough, you know, like the same river, the same place, all the rain collects, it goes through the same pathways that it has been going through before. And our brains are the same way. So when we're certain, we have these neural pathways that are locked into our brain, and this can limit us because our certainty can lock us into limiting beliefs. The belief that this is impossible, the belief that this can't happen. But doubt actually disrupts those neural pathways. It allows us to be open to another possibility. However, we are at choice points. So when the doubt comes in, we can choose to follow the doubt along the path of fear, or we can choose to lean into it and be curious. If I'm curious, I might ask, what else is possible? If this big doubt is showing up, what else is possible? Maybe this isn't the truth. Maybe there's some other possibility. And that's the moment we can imagine something we would love or some other idea of possibility and rehearse it in our brain. And the reason why that's a really important time is because it's the moment, the doubt is the disruptive moment, and it disrupts those neural pathways. But then, when we lean in with curiosity on what else is possible or what can we be open to, and if a possibility occurs that is more desirable, we can imagine it in our head. Because when we imagine, our body and brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. And so it can cause new neural pathways to be created on the new reality, which I think is pretty powerful and cool. So that's what we do in this teaching. It's not pretending that the doubt isn't there. It's not saying that there isn't a space for it. It's saying that the moment of that opening, that crack, a new choice is available. And that's what we open to. So doubt isn't really a malfunction in our operating procedure. Doubt is really a doorway. But what you do next determines what can occur for your life. So the doubting self is not really your enemy. The doubting self is something that was trying to keep you safe all along. It was built usually in childhood. It was usually built by other people saying what is and what isn't possible. And whispering those not so sweet nothings. Carl Jung called it the shadow. But the shadow is not the villain. The shadow is just the unincorporated, unwelcomed part of ourselves. So what if we welcomed it? What if we said, your place here, but there's also that place of the infinite goodness that can hold it all? There's a story from the Sufi tradition. Rumi encountered a man outside of a mosque, and the man was incredibly distressed. He said, I have prayed for 30 years, and I've never had to answer prayer. 30 years. Silence. That's all I've had. And Rumi sat with him in silence for a while. And then he said, that longing that you feel, the ache of the unanswered prayer, who do you think planted it? So think about what Rumi is pointing to. The man is focusing on the silence, but Rumi directs his attention somewhere else entirely. To the longing itself. You don't long for something that doesn't exist. A plant doesn't reach for the sun that isn't there. That hunger toward the divine, he's saying that hunger is not a sign of separation. It's saying that the connection has already been there all along. The fact that he was longing for it is evidence that it's there already. So the doubting self looks at the silence and calls it absence, while the awakened heart recognizes that the longing is evidence that it's already there. Lillian DeWaters wrote, the moment that you identify with the presence rather than the problem loses its power. So the doubting self is just showing you the issues, and it's the opportunity to lean into the presence. So I want you to imagine, we're going to do a little exercise. Imagine that there is a divine mother. A divine mother. Now, what would this divine mother be like? For me, I feel like the divine mother would love me unconditionally. Even when I'm doubting, or when I think I've lost my flame, the mother sees the flame in me already. It knows, without a doubt, that all is well. Many of you in the room have held a crying baby, and the baby thinks it's the end of the world, and you're like, it's okay, it's not the end of the world. We're good, we're good. Everything you need is right here. Even though the baby is crying. So what I want you to do is we're going to do a little practice. So I want you to go ahead and close your eyes, put both of your feet on the ground, and imagine a doubt that you might have. Imagine a doubt that you might have about anything. And what I want you to do is feel where that doubt resides in your body. It might be in your belly, it might be in your throat, it might be in your head. Wherever that doubt resides in your body, I want you to put your hand on that place. Don't fix it. We're not praying it away. Just let your hand rest there and imagine the hand is like a mother's hand on a child's forehead. Breathe into it and repeat after me. I see you. You're welcome here. There's a bigger power than this. Goodness and love prevail. So notice that something underneath the doubt is present. The thing itself, the living intelligence of the universe, it's already present. It's already oriented towards your wholeness. You don't have to feel it perfectly. And you're not turning away from the doubt. You're just recognizing that it's there. And so is the life underneath it. The power and the love. And so thank your body and thank your doubt and come back here present with me. So here's the idea that many of you know I'm just like the super biggest quantum physics geek. I love quantum physics. And Amit Goswami, he was actually a teacher I had in ministerial school. And so super, super awesome. But he's a quantum physicist. And he talks about how in quantum physics, a particle exists in all possibilities at once. In superposition is what they call it. Everywhere present at the same time. And then at the moment of conscious observation, so a conscious action, we'll say, that reality collapses into a particular experience. So one of the things is to notice that there's a doubt, but then move forward anyway. And that movement, so you're recognizing the doubt, you're acknowledging it, and then you're moving forward in the direction of your dreams or a greater possibility anyway. So you're not denying it or shoving it aside. You're just welcoming it, holding it, but moving forward anyway. So that's the practice. That's the invitation that I have for you this week, is to notice what the doubting self is saying. Name it. Speak to it. And you could also question, how old is this doubt? How long has it been hanging around me? Maybe who said it in the first place? You may or may not know. But then the invitation is to move forward anywhere, acting in alignment with what you know or believe is possible. What would goodness say is possible? What would love say is possible? And move forward in that direction. So remember that doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's faith just learning how to walk. So where's your doubt and invitation? And recognize that the doubting self is not your enemy. It was just trying to keep you safe. Perhaps you could give it compassion instead of being combative with it. And what if instead of eliminating doubt, you learned how to move forward anyway? So what do you think you could do this week with doubt still in the room? What else is possible? And how can it get any better than this? So this Mother's Day, I want you to think of a mother in the middle of the night holding her crying baby. She doesn't have the answer. She doesn't necessarily know what the solution is, but she knows without a doubt that it's all going to be okay. And she gives all that love to the baby. And so imagine that maybe we're being held by the mother on this Mother's Day and this month. And that as we move forward, it does know that it's going to be okay. Let's pray. I recognize and know that the infinite power of the universe is bigger than any doubt I may have. And yet I know that doubts are a part of who I am. There's the doubting self, there it is. But it's not the all-powerful Almighty. It's just giving me the opportunity to practice my practice in a new way. Showing me a way just before the baby is born. Allowing me to say, hey, what if there's a new possibility? What if something else is available to me? And so as I surrender into the wholeness of that truth, I recognize and know that this month is a powerful month of unfolding. That I am truly being held in the arms of the mother. That the infinite love of the universe is showering itself upon me. And I'm grateful to just acknowledge the beauty of its unfolding, the awakening that is happening in me so that I have the clarity, the inspiration, the revelation to move in a new direction that is in alignment with the greater good for myself and the greater good for humanity. Because I know that I'm in alignment with that truth. I'm grateful to see and know with new possibilities today that this week, this day, is a powerful revelation of truth. I acknowledge my whole self, loving it all, just as a mother would love its baby.